Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's Wednesday, which means we get to speak to the wonderful Dr. Carl. Dr. Carl from Australia, a very, very good morning to us. Hope you're well.
Ever so peachy keen, apart from picking up random diseases from the children. The advantage of having children is you get such wonderful new diseases that you otherwise miss out on.
Yes, keeping you young as long as you survive it. Let's talk about, speaking about survival, can we talk about Chernobyl fungus?
Yeah, we think that there's a fungus growing at Chernobyl that gets energy from radiation. So you and I, we get our energy from food. The food has fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, and we use the fats and the carbohydrates overwhelmingly for energy. Plants, they eat sunlight. Sunlight comes in, they grab that radiation somewhere between red and blue light, usually around the green. They grab that energy, which is about 500 watts per square meter, and they turn it into survival. And we've found this fungus that we've found it really close to very high radiation sources, and it seems to love staying near the high radiation sources, and it actually thrives the more radioactive it is. They grow towards it, not away from it. And we're guessing, but we haven't proved it yet, that they would eat not just sunlight or carbohydrate, but they eat radiation and turn into food. Now, we haven't proved it yet. After all, it took us many years to actually do the whole pathway for photosynthesis. You know, and we'd have to do that, but it's looking very suggestive, and we just need to put in the brain power and the time and a whole bunch of PhD students and get them to do all the hard work. And we could find something there. Like, we do know that there's a bacterium called Deinococcus radiodurans, which can survive radiation hundreds of thousands of times that you and I can, but it doesn't live off that radiation. It lives off food. And cockroaches, they can maybe survive radiation one or two times better than us, but not much. It's a total myth that they can survive huge amounts of radiation.
Oh, that's so interesting. I thought, because we always hear that. Who started that? Was it them? They've obviously got a very good PR team, these cockroaches.
Well, we've got to be careful here. Whatever you do, do not admit that you've been paid off by big cockroach to pass that myth on.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, that is very, very interesting. Can we talk about the loudest sound ever?
Yeah, the one ever we think is probably Krakatoa in 1883. And it was a mountain that was being volcanic in Indonesia. And then it opened up the whole side of the mountain. It just blew out. And inside there's all this molten lava. And the ocean rushed in and turned into steam, expanded in volume by 1,700 times. It could be heard 3,000 kilometres away from Indonesia at the bottom end of Australia. We had barometers back then.
Wow.
And the pressure wave went around the world seven times, and the barometers went kick, and then a bunch of hours later, kick, and this happened seven times. And if you were 60 kilometres away, it would rupture your eardrums and leave you deaf for the rest of your life. If you were 160 kilometres away, it would cause permanent loss of hearing. And we think that was the loudest one. And by the way, with just a little bit of background noise, typically we can survive sounds up to about 140 decibels, providing it's like for a tenth of a second. Yeah, you know, that's like a jumbo taking up right next to you. If you're listening to 110 decibels, that's two minutes. 100 decibels, 14 minutes. 85 decibels, which is like a slightly noisy factory, a few hours. And a chainsaw, that's about 100 decibels. And I see people using power tools for more than 2 minutes. And at that stage, they've done permanent hearing loss for the rest of their life within 2 minutes. And so I myself was foolishly a roadie for rock and roll bands, and I have some hearing loss. But the loudest modern sound in the modern era
yeah.
was from the January 22 Tonga eruption, where a similar sort of thing happened. A volcano underwater opened up, water came in, and that sound wave went around the world multiple times, and it wasn't quite, it didn't rupture eardrums 40 kilometers away, 60 kilometers away, so it wasn't quite as loud. But that was the loudest one in modern times.
Amazing. It's so strange to think about.
And just to finish off on sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know about hinges that are used on doors at home?
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about a hinge where the metal is 5 millimeters thick, half a centimeter, and is made of titanium.
Right.
Now, the world's loudest loudspeaker is in Darmstadt in Germany, where they use it to test components for rockets. Because when rockets take off, they generate a huge amount of noise. And they can actually damage components inside the spacecraft.
Oh, wow.
And one of my colleagues worked as a rocket scientist at Darmstadt for Eurospace. And if they had this hinge at the right place, it could be torn apart by the sound wave. 5 millimeters of solid titanium torn
that
like a sheet of paper.
That is incredible because that tells you, obviously, the power of a sound wave. Let's talk about the power of solar flares being potentially dangerous to pregnant women.
Okay, so we had firstly, you know about the Airbus 320 that got grounded worldwide last weekend?
Yes.
So there's about 12,000 of them around the world, the most popular passenger jet ever made.
Right.
Half of them got grounded because they had a problem, which they picked up about 6 months ago, and they couldn't work out why. And there's this airplane flying in America going fly, 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 and then suddenly it drops several thousand feet without control. And they managed to control the aircraft. Nobody dies.
Right.
And they worked out, and it took them several months to do this, that a solar flare had caused what they call a single, S-I-N-G-L-E, single event upset. Now, you might have heard that in computers, data is stored as ones and noughts.
Yes.
Well, what happens in a single event upset during a solar flare is a bit of radiation comes through and turns a one into a nought or a nought into one. Now, normally that doesn't matter for you on your computer. If it happens, the document crashes, you open up again, no big deal. But in the aeroplane, what they should have is hardened electronics, because
right.
when you're flying at 40,000 feet, the radiation level is 50 to 100 times higher than it is at ground level, and we'll talk about what it does to pregnant women. So what they should have had was what's called a parity check bit. So you've got this whole big string of data, maybe 1,000 bits, and you turn it into a single unique number, and then if you do the operation, so having looked at that data, you then say, now we'll do a parity check, and the condensed form of that number is the same as that string of ones and noughts. And the trouble is that chews up time for the programmers to write it.
Right.
It slows down the computer. It makes you have to use up processor cycles. You need more hardware. And we're thinking that Airbus didn't have parity checks. And they should have had. But also they said they had to do software updates. So that would mean putting in parity checks, slowing down the computers. And also hardware, where they put an extra layer of metal around the computers. And then running, but anyway, that problem's been solved. Hooray. Thank you very much, Airbus. Nobody died. Hooray. And then a recent solar flare had radiation at such a high level that if a woman who was pregnant was flying in an aeroplane at 40,000 feet and exposed to that level of radiation
right.
for 10 hours,
yes,
her baby would have a very high chance of some sort of deformation.
Wow.
But, yeah. The strength of the solar flare at that level lasted for only 2 hours.
Ah, so it was...
Okay. I recently took a flight from New York to Hong Kong.
Right.
And that's a 16-hour flight.
Right.
That's a long flight, right? And so, and also when you're over the pole, the radiation level is higher as well.
Ah.
So in this case, it was very high radiation level. But thinking about the poor cabin crew,
yeah,
they've been worried about this, and they've been, yeah, and they've been very well studied, and what we're very sure of is that they have an increase in two cancers for sure, melanoma,
right,
and breast cancers. Other cancers, the evidence is not so sure. So on one hand, what I'm trying to say is that, look, things are pretty right. Look, not a lot of us suffer
right.
from cancer. And the other thing is that the cabin crew should get paid more
right.
To compensate for their risk of dying sooner, in the same way that shift workers who work midnight to dawn will die sooner, and they should be paid more to compensate for their dying sooner.
Incredible. Dr. Carl, so interesting. Thank you, as always.